after months of deliberation, the day is finally here. We have the review of an M110 clone, or a Saber 10, by Palmetto State Armory. And while it may seem odd that we're doing this review in the studio, bear with me here, because the values and the things that I've taken away from how they've produced this firearm are more than just the materials in front of us. So context is important for this, and I think Palmetto State Armory deserves a significant amount of recognition for what they have put together in this piece. Full disclosure, PSA sent me the gun. I made some modifications to it, and the purpose originally was to go into a review for Recoil magazine. And if you're going to, if you want a second version, and also not just a second version, but another way on the more of the methodology that went into the review and how that comes together, then stay tuned with them in the print publication. But let's do this now, live, at least in a podcast and a conversation format. So immediately, my first impressions, you're going to have, you know, like I've already given some of it away, and that I'm very impressed at what they've accomplished with this firearm. And what that comes down to is exactly how much functionality you're getting out of the box. The Saber 10 in this configuration has accomplished two very different goals for two very different peoples. If you're going for more of the cloner route, but you don't want to spend $30,000 on an actual M110, then this is a great way of accomplishing that, albeit you are going to notice some bits that are different. For example, the stock that comes with it doesn't have that QD swivel stud built into it. Instead, you just have a very standard A1-ish style stock. And you'll notice that I don't have it on the gun as configured. But if you want to start with something that is more of that clone direction, the aesthetic, the vibe of the M110, this certainly accomplishes that out of the box. The three magazines that came with mine, all tan, have that same SR25 M110 look. They function. I had no issues with it, but we're going to get to functionality here in a little bit. So chapter one, overall impressions. For a rifle that comes in at about $1,500, that comes with three magazines and a carrying bag, you're getting quite a bit out of that package, which is something that Palmetto State Armory has been known for, sometimes trolled for, and they did it really well with this piece, where many of the details, if they're not exactly the same, are very similar. For example, on the rail, there are your markings at the 12, 6, and 9, and so forth. Every third Picatinny line has a engraved indentation saying like T45, T42, marking where they're at. So if you're putting gear on and taking it off this heavy quad rail, you can easily remember where you put your stuff, as well as it reminds me of an M110, the actual M110. Now, I have to put a disclaimer for background. I used an M110 in Ranger Battalion many years ago, and even out of the box, the nostalgia was there. There are some differences, though. It doesn't come with a suppressor, and you know, optics are changed. But what we've gotten here, and what I've got in this build specifically, I'll go through in detail. But we have a rifle that immediately, you have a rifle with a 20-inch barrel. It's got, I think, a 1-in-10 twist versus the 1-in-11 that was in the original. And this one, the one that I used, is configured in, or is chambered in 308. So I didn't opt for a 6.5 Creedmoor. I wanted to stick with a 308. Now, how did the review process go, and what did I do in phases, and then how do those interact with all the different parts? Well, immediately the first thing that I did with the M1 or this Saber 10 is I took it out to the range and got an initial zero. My first shot group, all things being equal, wasn't that great. My first shots out of the gun were, I think if I look off camera, I have about a three and some change-ish MOA group, and that wasn't due to performance, I think. But what ended up, so that was like an initial shock. But then after I started breaking in the barrel, Then by the end of that first day, my shot group shrunk to about one MOA. And so a 308, it is an accomplishment worthy of recognition to produce a functioning 308 chambered AR platform rifle for under $2,000. If you know the history of AR-10s, it's a little bit muddier than what might meet the eye. But the M110 clone, so the first thing that I had to do was break in the barrel. It's not that I'm not used to breaking in the barrel. I realized then that I'd taken for granted that the last number of guns that I've had have had extremely short break-in periods. This one was about 75 rounds before I was shooting a consistent one-inch group, and that was shooting, running something through the barrel, shooting again, running through the barrel. I didn't have to do that for all 75 rounds, but I did it periodically throughout the first, 70-ish rounds of the gun. By the end of that first day, it was shooting very consistently 1 to 1.5 MOA, depending on ammunition. Your standard ball, like American Eagle, was more on that broader end, but if I was using a little bit more of your boat tail hollow points, something from, say, Black Hills or Norma, I was getting much closer to that 1 MOA space. And for context, in 2010 or 2009, 2008, dudes were deploying with three MOA guns. And those were like, this was before the AR craze hit the Americas as much. And so now we have a gun that out of the box, after a little bit of a break-in period, is shooting a consistent one-ish MOA. And that's an achievement. That's an achievement that Palmetto State Armory deserves to be reminded of or thanked for. So things that I noticed right away, though, that were a little rough. Recoil wasn't fantastic. The muzzle device that came on it, and the muzzle device, the stock, those two combinations. Overall, an AR-10 platform is not oftentimes as soft cycling as we want it to be. But initially, it was noticeable, probably because I was using a hard plastic stock with a hard plastic butt and then a flash hider. There was nothing as far as recoil mitigation in the initial right out of the package. Did it cycle? Yes, it cycled reliably. Did it cycle reliably when I started playing with the gas settings? No, actually. The gas settings have a series of very obvious sections that we saw, like, let's call it five segments, but you can squish it a little past both to the open and closed. If I squish it past, gun wouldn't cycle. If I took that knob and cranked it all the way to one end, I would go to the final setting and squish it just past that. And then it wouldn't cycle. I'd usually get a failure to eject or a failure to feed. Failure to feed from the bolt not going far enough back to pick up the momentum going forward, picking up the round and feeding it into the chamber. But those were user errors. Those were something that I did. Now, so long as I'm not trying to rapidly adjust my gas setting in the dark under stress, which is something that, to my knowledge, doesn't happen often, the gun cycled reliably, regardless of ammunition, regardless of magazines, which is a tricky thing when it comes to this type of platform. So what changes did I start making? Well, I kept using it. We took it to a range day. We took it to one of our public land cleanups. And so people who volunteered to help clean up public land got to shoot this for themselves. And that put another 300 plus rounds through the gun. And that was without cleaning. I also needed to, in the middle of that, I live in the desert, it's dry, about halfway through, maybe three quarters of the way. So we're getting close to the 500 round mark. That's when I needed to take the bolt out, wipe it down, add some oil, put it back in, and then it was cycling fine. But it's not common. I wouldn't ding the firearm itself. I wouldn't criticize Palmetto State Armory for not creating a Saber 10 that can cycle 1,000 rounds without any maintenance or cleaning. So it was about that just under 500 round mark without cleaning that it needed some oil and a quick wipe down. Back to running great. You could feel it get sluggish. Now it's fine. With a little bit of battlefield medicine, ran great. But that was still in its original configuration with the three-prong flash hider and the A1 or A2, like the triangle hard plastic stock. Then I started making some modifications. But let's do an interlude here. Let's do an interlude before we get to modifications. Attachments outside of the internals. So I added the pogo stick, or I added the foregrip. I added a flashlight. I added this thermal, which is a AGM Sting IR with a flip to side. And then I added an ADM, American Defense Manufacturing Delta mount with a Vortex 4.5 to 22. It's their LHT HD, their HD LHT. So their higher end optic. The optic itself, MSRP is at more than the gun itself, but this optic performed really well. I remembered using an M110 in the past, and it had like a 2-12 or a 2-20, and that was a second focal plane versus this is a first focal plane. Vortex, for more reasons than one, has become that company that I love to go to for optics, especially glass. They've always impressed me. Of course, on their higher end stuff, but even I've seen and used some of their what do they call it? The Strike Eagle, which is improved in as well. But on an ADM scope with a lead and steel Pandora piggyback, this became like a great night vision setup because I could use passive aiming with my dot for something that was faster. I had thermal options if I wanted it for those gray twilight hours, and the just the light gathering capability of this HD LHT was fantastic. The first time I went out to the range with it, it was in the evening, the sun was setting, and if you know how the sun sets in the desert, it goes from really bright to really dark really, really quickly. And I was able to use this optic, I was able to use this scope up until a point where I would have needed an artificial form of light for even a red dot. I was not dealing with any amount of light gathering. It does a fantastic job, and you can really see what they tried to put into with this scope with the mind of a hunter, someone who might be looking to harvest an elk in the dawn when the light is in that gray middling thing. It performed extremely well with the light. I wish I could do that in a way that was better at depicting it. But what I'm saying is, and what I'm trying to argue about this optic, is that for, if nothing else, light gathering capability, A tier, great, top performance. Can't talk too much about it other than saying, like, I think they did a great job. Now, it's not the most tactical, quote unquote, scope, because I mean, you've got to do some, makes your methods of making adjustments. You got caps and so long and so forth, but it actually performs really, really well for what I do. The setting the parallax took me a little bit longer than what I wanted it to do, but I can ask for forgiveness later. Not setting the parallax, sorry. Setting the getting my the clarity of my eye relief took a little bit longer than I was comfortable with, but it wasn't so much that I would write home and say I hate it. I just needed to remember things that I had forgotten. But other than that, dealing with parallax, dealing with sighting it in, no problems. The reticle is great. We've definitely moved forward with reticles. So now what else went into the gun? Well, what stayed the same? Kept the bipod, trigger stayed the same. Palmetto State Armory's trigger, really good. It's right around that 2-ish pounds. It's got a little bit of a squishy first stage, but the second stage is nice and crisp, clean, no questions about it. We can even do a Mike Jones. You got a little bit of a gummy first stage and a very clean, crisp 2-ish pounds second stage with I was very happy with it. Palmetto State Armory's rear grip, or their pistol grip, is actually fantastic. I never changed it out, even though I had options to, and you know, everything else that you can see stayed the same. But in order to, and what was my ideas, what did I want to do while changing it? What did I want to do to change the gun? Well, recoil was the annoying part. Not the magazine, the felt recoil, and a lot of that came down to this very, very straightforward stock. So I replaced the round buffer tube with one that I could put a B5 system stock on. That completely changed just the feel of the gun, cheek weld, sight consistency. I've seen it happen many times where people will take their classic stocks and they'll add like a layer of foam and they'll tape it on there. And so your A1 style stock will start looking like a craft project in Afghanistan. But the B5 systems on a putting a B5 systems, they actually won a contract specifically for this purpose, which is what drove me there. That like immediately made it much more enjoyable to shoot consistently. It is a semi-automatic weapon. It is designed to shoot more than one round per minute, or be capable of functioning in that. And that alone cleaned it up, but in conjunction with a different muzzle brake. And for here, I put on a suppressor capable for dead air. I put on one of their 30 caliber brakes, and those two alone completely demolished the discomfort of the recoil. And that kind of harkens to what the second thing that this gun has done. So on the one hand, it does have a bit of that clone look to it, but on the other hand, for what you get out of the box, you have an extremely good platform to begin with. And that is, I've got the billet version here. You can take a billet AR-10 concept, albeit a little bit heavy with that 20-pound barrel. I'm sorry, 20-inch barrel. Jeez. The 20-inch barrel, it is fluted underneath the rail here, so that does take off a little bit of weight. But you do have a 20-inch barrel. If I load this up as configured, optic, mount, dot, light, everything with a magazine and a suppressor, I think it clocks in at like 17 pounds, and that is everything. But this is a word of warning, that isn't unusual, especially for a gun of this configuration. I did add a pound with the Law Tactical Folder, and the Law Tactical folder I've talked about before is a pattern of life improvement for firearms like this that maybe I don't get to take as much advantage of with the M110 clone because it's already got a 20-inch barrel. But for traveling to and from the range or to and from events with this, that's always been a win. It's nicer that I can slide it into a bag. It's a little bit shorter. It's not so much I got to wheel around. I've been very happy with the Law Tactical Folder. I've had them on my guns for almost a decade now. Very, very happy with it. This is no different. Cycled fine, functioned fine, continues to function fine, continues to cycle fine, no questions asked, no problems given. But adding that B5 system stock, so I had to change out the buffer tube system. Then this one is a Aero Precision buffer tube, spring and buffer. That took a little bit of, it took a decent amount of weight, not weight out, that this combination of buffer tube, spring, stock, and muzzle brake took one of the things that out of the box I was less than enamored with and completely fixed that problem, which is why you're really getting two types of guns in one. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to go for something that looks good in a cloning sense, or do you want to go for something that you can turn into something else? And this is one of those rare cases where I think you can buy one of these, start with it, turn it into something else over time, and not be paying twice, so to speak. Really good, really well done. Now, for the negatives that remain with it. They're very short. And the only thing that I don't really like about this gun, the only thing I really, particularly for what it is that I don't like that the latches for the safety, you've got a right-hand bolt release, so I can lock the bolt to the rear from the left, and then with my right hand, I can send the bolt forward with that bolt release, which is same. It's similar in design to the M110 or an SR25. Similar placement. Is the problem is that this thing hangs out a bunch, and I in the past have actually torn these off before. And if I were to be running around with a lot of Molly gear, you know, period appropriate attire, that is something that you'd want to pay pay attention to when you're using this in any sort of higher stress competition style environment, or what is it, LARPing at the range. That is something that I want to be wary of, is just make sure you're not just sliding on your kit all the time, because that can catch. It's not in the worst possible place, but it's not in the best either. And that goes the same for the inverse. The ping pong paddle had to be modified, or they had a different version of the ping pong paddle that's got a much more aggressive scoop to it. And it's got these two little wings that hang off the sides on the bottom here on the locking portion, which had to happen because of how much this thing needs to travel to function correctly. According to I was talking to the folks over at PSA about that, and that was something that they said, is that they needed to change the shape of this to make sure that it functioned reliably. You are always able to lock your bolt back, and you're always able to release it. But I would be concerned about this bottom side with the little wings snagging. And is that something that I can change? I don't think I can change. I haven't tried. It might be an option. But those are really the kind of gripes that I have with it. Magwell's flared. That should be great. If you ever remember, you know, Magwell's flared. Pre-flared Magwells are not fun, and that's about that. So let's go back and kind of tie this off into a talking point. So as far as what this whole thing did, what Palmetto State Armory accomplished with, you've got a Radian Raptor Light, or LA, I think it's LT, but you got Radian Raptor Light, ambidextrous handle, ambidextrous controls that are well-made and well-done. PSA took what was their strengths, and then they used others' strengths to make this a complete rifle. You know, if you're going to get super serious into that kind of longer distance shooting, you're probably going to end up replacing things like the bipod that comes in. It's a Magpul bipod. You're going to want to change out the stock and the muzzle device. But overall, for a performance tool, this does really good. It's surprisingly, in a sense, and I don't mean that like negative, I don't mean that in a negative sense as if it doesn't deserve credit. It is a surprisingly functioning gun. Again, that I can't seem to say that without it making it sound negative. But it is an accomplished piece of construction. I'm very happy with it. Now, I do most of my reviews in writing format, but for this kind of the first time I'm doing one on a screen, I'm thinking, I'm looking at this, what they've done, and what I believe that Palmetto State Armory has accomplished with their Saber 10 line is something that is very easy to take for granted. You've got a roughly one MOA functioning AR-10 for sub $2,000 that with a few parts, this one not counting optics, totaling to probably under $2,000, you've got one that functions and functions well. It's not just does it work, and we're not even going to do ourselves the disservice of trying to say it's just as good, but rather the overall from the entirety of the construction out of the box is impressive. They did a good job. Am I going to make advice on whether or not you should or shouldn't pick up one? You know your own circumstances. That's not what we're here for. But some things that serve as a testament to the development of firearms, especially in the West, is that barrels are more accurate, they're more reliably more accurate, and then the entire functioning of the system, it's not like we don't know how these systems work, but I have a gas system that I can have some adjustability to it. It's really more of an on-off, in my opinion, but they've got a functioning AR-10 style rifle that you can take apart. You could put a different rail on if you wanted to cut some weight out. You could put a different stock on if you want to reduce the recoil. You can put a different muzzle brake on if you want less recoil, or if you want to add a suppressor. And I had no other than user-generated malfunctions. So in closing, or one final point that needs to be brought up is magazines. Now, the 308 version that I had came with three PSA magazines. None of them failed. None of them failed to feed unless there was something else that I did. But I also tried out with Knights Armament, Bonafide Knights Armament magazines, as well as Magpul and these Hex Mags. So four different types of magazines were tried. PSA Mags, function no problem. Out of a 308, no issues. Bonafide SR25 Mags, function no problem. These are a little bit lighter. And then Magpul, again, no issues there. Didn't have any issues either with the Hex Mag. Favorites out of the box right now at this point in time, Magpul. I'd be interested to see what Lancers do. But in conclusion, if you're curious about the Saber 10 or an M110 clone, I would say it might be worth a second look. Because I think for what they've produced, you've seen What I believe has happened here is roughly 10 years of, let's call it micro innovation, has resulted in a company that has, it has resulted in a company, one, Palmetto State Armory, being able to release something that performs so well for so little. While I do have some issues with it, while I do have some issues with how easy it is to snag, it could be to snag those controls, ultimately, the pros have overweighed the cons, in my opinion, as a rifle that shoots that reliably cycles 308 rounds at a 308 rounds out of a magazine fed system in or accurate to the distances that I was shooting, upwards to 500-600 meters to about one MOA. Now, ammunition selection is probably going to have more of an impact than, say, something like an SR-25, but that is the reality of what we're dealing with. Then, word of advice, or if you have one, or if you're looking at it, if you do pick up a Saber 10 by PSA, have a little bit of patience. Make sure you break in that barrel first. Shoot a couple rounds, run a bore snake through it. Shoot a couple rounds, run something through it. Shoot a couple rounds, run something through it, and you're going to see your shot group tighten up relatively quickly. So yeah, that is the M110 or the Saber 10 by PSA, given to you in a review format. In a podcasting format. If you're listening and this was entertaining, I hope it was as entertaining for you as it was for me to try to put this together. And I got to thank the folks at PSA for trusting me doing not only a review of this rifle for Recoil Magazine, but also for you here on Redacted. I had a little bit of a break from the norm, but we've been focusing so much on heavy topics lately, I thought it was worth the time. If you're interested in more review-like content, you know, you can always let me know. Reach out in the comments below. If you want to support us here over at Redacted, you can head over to redactedllc.com. You can pick up some of the shirts or the stickers or the hoodies, things that keep us rolling. If you want to support us in any other way, if you want to jump in the conversation or you want to yell at me, you can head over to redactedculture.locals.com for the back page, for the black site, where we're going to be putting out I continue to put out as much as I can in advance. But yeah. And if this has been a helpful bit for you, leave a like. If it helped you make a decision, let me know in the comments below, and we will talk to you soon. So, that being the case, go forth and conquer.